I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Every once in a while, the readings of the day coalesce together to be a very rich basket of reading. And today is one of those days. The readings this Sunday are huge. We have the conversion of St. Paul, and we have Jesus out with the disciples and manifesting what we would call the first Eucharist in John's Gospel after the resurrection. Both of these readings are overwhelmingly rich, and it's hard to scope it all down into 9 or 10 minutes. What I want us to think about, first of all, in the reading from John's Gospel, is that this is the first Eucharist after the resurrection. And it has full of meaning. The fish represent all the people of the world who are in the love of God. And the fish also are, ichthus was the sign of the fish, which meant Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. If you took all those words in Greek, put them together, it spells the word in Greek for fish. So these fish are representative, metaphorically, in John's Gospel, for all the people of the world that are under God's love and coming to know how God's love is to be manifested through the teachings of Jesus. That through Jesus we have Jesus as Lord and Savior. We also have in this reading of the Gospel the richness of the sense that we know Jesus through the receiving of communion, which this morning we continue that tradition, and everyone here is invited to come and receive the body and blood of Christ, to receive the love of God poured out for us symbolically in our communion service. And this is very rich. We celebrate together in what's known as the Holy Mystery. That in the Holy Mystery we understand there is the presence of Jesus in each and every one of us. And that we're all filled with that presence of Jesus to empower us, to give us the vision and the energy to go out and love the world as Jesus loved the world. And to stand up for social justice as Jesus stood up for social justice. That's the meaning of taking the Eucharist. And then we have also shared with us today the Damascus Road experience of Paul. And I want to spend a bit more on that, because had it not been for Paul, none of us would be here. I don't think there's anybody in this congregation who has a Jewish background. Now, I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, all of us here are what would be known as Gentiles. And we would have come from pagan stock. And pagan was anybody who was not Jewish, was considered pagan. And the Christian church went at the year of about 31, 32, right at the time of the crucifixion and resurrection, had about 20 people in it. And 250 years later, the Christian church comprised 30 million people. Now that's an amazing growth cycle, if you want to graph that. And it really came most dominant. There's a book by Bart Ehrlichman that's well worth reading. And it talks about the growth of the church. But this whole thing happened because of Paul. Paul recognized that even though he had a Jewish root, he was called by God to go out and preach about Jesus and the love of God to the Gentiles, to the pagans. And he did. And the pagans didn't, we've talked a little bit about paganism here in the past. The pagans didn't have an understanding of life after life. They didn't have an understanding about God's universal love. And they didn't have an understanding about building a family that was bigger than your own familial group. So Paul was inventive, and he brought a lot of vitality to the church and made it possible for all of us to know about Jesus, to all of us to know about the love of God, and to be present here this morning building a Christian family. Paul is amazing. We are a Pauline church. But more amazing than that, not only is the showing of Paul, his change on the Damascus Road, meeting Jesus in this vision, but also someone who we don't really often talk about, and that's Ananias. For Ananias, his name gets confused with the high priest Ananias, but this man had a vision from Jesus to take a risk and to go and to Straight Street. Paul became a Christian on Straight Street. I think all the people in the 12-step movement might like that. When I worked in prison, when a criminal gave up his old life of being a criminal, they said he went straight. Well, I wish I had sort of put it together. I would have had great sermons in prison about going straight like Paul on Straight Street. But Paul went straight on Straight Street. He stopped being a persecutor of the church. For up until this time, he was persecuting this small band of people. About the time of Paul, there was probably less than 100 Christians in the world, followers of the way. And he, Stephen the Martyr, who had been elected to take the place of Judas Iscariot, was killed by a setup by Paul when he was known as Saul. And so Ananias had a great responsibility when he had in the dream that he had to go and meet this guy and baptize him and heal him of his blindness to allow him to now work for Jesus. Can you imagine the fear and trepidation that here's a guy who had been killing your family members, your friends? The Christian church was unique because it saw itself as a family. That's where the term father came from, because it would be a community felt like a family, and the presbyter, the person who led the service, would be seen as the father of the group. That's where that term arose. But anyway, he went at great risk and in trust in his vision from God to go beyond his comfort zone and meet with Paul, to talk to Paul, to lay hands on Paul, to heal him, and then to baptize him to become the great evangelist that Paul is, and we all know about Paul. That's taking the word of God and trusting in it fully. And I would like us to think today more about this man who trusted God's vision and God's word to him to reach out to Paul. What does that say to us today? We know about the love of Jesus. We know that we follow a loving God, that we have the richness of what we've inherited from all the people who were impacted by Paul's evangelism over the years, and we have received it. But we're now at an age where we have new visions, just like Paul had to deal with new reality. We're at a time of new reality where the traditional way of understanding the Christian message is falling away because we have new truths. We have new realities. We have new understandings of genetics. We have new understanding of how we are formed as people. We have new scientific understandings. And a lot of people are turning their back on God and turning their back on the love of Jesus. And we are called today, in the year 2019, to take a risk and to follow in a new way of understanding God. And that understanding of God is that God loves not just a little group, not just a tribal group, but God loves all of God's creation. And not to be afraid to say that. I mentioned earlier today that this is Pluralism Sunday, where we recognize that God's house has many mansions. It's in the scripture. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And in the many mansions, there are many, many pathways to God. And God loves all the people who turn to God, who've been in the world from the beginning. Before creation was God. Out of God comes the universe. So God is in all of us, but is in all of us, all human beings, and all the creation, God is present. And that's a truth which some people choose to ignore, going back to a tribal time. But we can't ignore it anymore. We have to understand that God is everywhere and in everyone. The sadness is that some people choose not to acknowledge God in their lives. But we do, and I thank God for us acknowledging this presence of love and forgiveness and reconciliation. But we are called to take the risks and to express that. There's a beautiful story. The parish that I used to look after in Wanick, Church of the Holy Spirit, next to them was the United Church. The United Church sold the building, and they sold it to some Muslims. And there's now that United Church is a mosque. But recently, after the big Christchurch episode where the mosque was shot up, the people of Holy Spirit in Wanick and other Christians got together with the people at the mosque, and there was a sense of unity, a sense that we all worship one God. We may worship in a different pathway, but there's still the one God. And we have to start getting our heads around that, getting out of our tribal past and moving forward, because the world is a smaller place. I got asked the other day if I've ever preached a sermon. My brother-in-law actually asked me if I've ever preached a sermon on climate change. I said, yes. You know all that. But part of the reality is that we live on one planet as one people, breathing the same air, and we've been formed by one God. And so it's important that we work together as one to maintain the gift of the planet that God has given us. And on this Pluralism Sunday, and thinking about the work and the risk-taking of those early Christians in the way who reached out to then Saul, who became Paul, who then evangelized amongst the pagans and was able to bring the message of God's love for all of God's people that they accepted and that we are inheritors of, we now have to take the next step. It's beyond our comfort zone. It's beyond my comfort zone. It's probably beyond your comfort zone. But I think we have to reach it out. There are more people in the province of British Columbia today who have no faith of anything whatsoever than there are if you took all the people of all faith expressions, Muslims, Jews, Shintoists, Christians, and you name the group who have a sense of the holy other, put them all together, they're still a minority in this province. We have to reach out and bring everybody to a more clear understanding of the force and presence and love of God that resides in all people, so that those who turn their back on God will start to turn their face towards God, and that we may be one. I pray today that as we receive the Eucharist to which we are all invited, we have that sense of the presence of God within us, and that the presence of God is there, so that we answer that call that came in the gospel, follow me. May we follow Jesus, who is our Savior and teacher about the love of God. May God bless us all. Amen.